A mouse looked through the crack in the wall to see the farmer and his wife opening a package. I wonder what kind of food they are bringing out, the mouse thought to himself. Suddenly, he became devastated to see that they had bought a mousetrap. Scurrying to the barn, the mouse shouted the warning to the other animals. There's a mousetrap in the house! There's a mousetrap in the house! The chicken clucked and scratched, raised her head and said, Mr. Mouse, I can tell this is a serious matter to you, but it has nothing to do with me. It does not concern me, and I cannot be bothered with it. The mouse turned to the pig and told him, There's a mousetrap in the house! There's a mousetrap in the house! The pig sympathized with the mouse but said, I'm so very sorry, Mr. Mouse, but there is nothing I can do about it but pray. Just know that you are in my prayers. Then the mouse went to the cow and said, There's a mousetrap in the house! There's a mousetrap in the house! The cow told the mouse, Wow, Mr. Mouse, I feel terribly sorry for you, but it's no skin off my nose. There's nothing I can do about it. You're on your own on this one. So the mouse, head down and feeling dejected, went back to the house to deal with the farmer's mousetrap alone. That very night, a sound was heard throughout the house, like the sound of a mousetrap catching its prey. The farmer's wife rushed to see what was caught, and in the darkness, she didn't see that it was a venomous snake's tail whom she had caught in the trap. The snake bit the farmer's wife. The farmer heard his wife's screams, and when he rushed to her side, she told him that she had been bitten. With haste, the farmer rushed her to the hospital for treatment and later returned home, but she had a fever. Now, everyone knows that you treat a fever with chicken soup. So the farmer got an axe, went to the barn and grabbed a chicken so he could make chicken soup. But the wife's sickness continued, so friends and neighbors came to sit with her around the clock. And so that the farmer could tend his chores, but he wanted to show his appreciation and be hospitable to them, so he wanted to feed them. He went to the barn and butchered the pig. Sadly, the farmer's wife never recovered, and she passed away. And so many people came to her funeral, but the farmer went to the barn and had the cow slaughtered to provide enough food for them all at the wake. And the mouse? Well, the mouse just watched all these events take place from the crack in the wall and felt a great sadness. There's much to learn from stories such as this, but there's also much to celebrate. As we have seen over recent days, division and unkindness are becoming commonplace within our national life, possibly even within this great city of Westminster. And selfish and self-centered ideologies and motives are becoming more and more prevalent. But if there's one thing we can understand from this story, it's that there's no room for selfishness or a lack of respect in our society. We are all part of this together, and we all need to help one another, whatever the cost, regardless of whether we would be affected by the initial outcome, for in some way, we will be affected. When one is threatened, we are all threatened. And it is our obligation to one another as fellow human beings, and to one another as children of a loving and compassionate God, to stand side by side with those who feel powerless, betrayed, vulnerable, isolated, or persecuted. We did this 100 years ago at the Somme, so why can't we do it again? And today, as we gather in this house of prayer, we do so to give thanks to God for those who feel so compelled to help others in society, but they have stood for public office and are councillors of this great city. We gather to celebrate that people are prepared to give a voice to those who are scared or vulnerable in society and help them by representing their needs or concerns. We gather to give thanks for the sacrificial offering of time and skill given by our civic representatives, because they want to help others and the whole society reach our full potential. We gather in thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for our freedom to worship. Thanksgiving for our democracy. Thanksgiving for those who live and work among us and who go the extra mile to make our communities safer and better places. Thanksgiving for those who go unnoticed and yet who enable peoples of different ethnicity, creed, ages, and social backgrounds to integrate and take their place in society. Thanksgiving for those who make the hard but necessary decisions in our public life on our behalf. And thanksgiving is perhaps this Lord Mayor's watchword for his mayoralty. It is a wonderful virtue because true thankfulness, true gratitude, is a gift. It is not a right to be implemented or acted upon, but a gift freely given in recognition of something done well, something pleasing, something that has not been earned. We all know that when someone truly thanks you for something, you feel empowered, respected, accepted, and loved. We feel that we have some self-worth and can actually make a contribution to society, no matter how small that might be. But sadly, the prevalent blame culture is more common in our society, which only seeks to diminish, belittle, and prevent people from stepping up and contributing towards our common life. But this need not be the case. In our second lesson this morning, we have been instructed to be thankful. Yes, of all that God has given us in creation, and for the gift of life and light in Jesus Christ. But more than that, we are instructed to be thankful for all the little things in life which make our city, our lives, full and rich with blessings. There is an abundance of things to be thankful for in this city, and indeed within our own lives. I pray that our Lord Jesus Christ might help us to recognize these things, and so we may give thanks for the blessings that we receive. Amen.